This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Mr. Shank, did Gail Wright really tell you that?
Yes.
Justice Alito said he didn't tell her. She said she didn't tell him. But you're sure she told you?
Absolutely.
Now, you wrote a book a couple of years ago. Is that right? 2018, you wrote,
yes.
Wrote a book?
Yes.
I want to read a section from that book. It's a section where you relate you and your family were attended oral arguments at the court. You were there in the courtroom, and that directly involved your brother, Paul, also a reverend. And I just want to read this section. You said, with a single rap of the gavel, Chief Justice William Rehnquist announced, "We'll hear argument first this morning in number 995-1065. Reverend Paul Shank and Dwight Saunders versus Pro-Choice Network of Western New York." Paul and I winked at each other, knowing we had made history with that reverend in his name. It had been a minor victory when we persuaded the court that reverend should remain before Paul's name, even though we had been told repeatedly that legal briefs never included such titles. You thought it was important that, obviously based on what he said, you thought it was important that the title reverend be in front of Paul's name. Is that right?
Correct.
And why was that?
Because we saw it as a religious liberty matter, and that would make it clear that it fit in that category.
Did Chief Justice Rehnquist really say that, the way I just read it from your book?
I can't say that I remember that.
Well, you're pretty darn specific here. You got the number, case number 95-1065. Very next word says Reverend Paul Shank. You made it a big deal. Thought it's the first time it's ever happened. I'm just asking, did it really happen?
I wish I could tell. I would have to go back and review that.
See, it may not have?
Possibly not.
Why do you say possibly not? You were emphatic in your book.
I would have to go back.
We did go back, and I got the transcript right here. Proceedings, 10:05 a.m., Chief Justice Rehnquist. We'll hear argument first this morning in number 95-1065, Paul Shank and Dwight Saunders versus Pro-Choice Network of Western New York. Did you hear it?
I did.
Was there a word missing?
Title reverend?
Yeah. Wasn't in there. In your book, you said it was a big deal. So much so that you winked at your brother. Did you wink at your brother?
Yes.
What'd you wink for if it wasn't in the title?
Well, it was our case.
But you said you winked because they included reverend in the title, and the transcript says Mr. Rehnquist didn't.
Perhaps not.
Perhaps? Court reporter get it wrong? Did he say it and the court reporter get it wrong?
Well, then.
Well, we got the audio, too. I'm going to play that for everyone to hear.
We'll hear argument first this morning, number 95-1065, Paul Shank and Dwight Saunders versus Pro-Choice Network of Western New York.
Reverend, did you hear that?
I did.
Was there a word missing that's different from what you put in your book?
A title, yes.
What was that title?
Reverend.
Reverend was not there. Right? Did you wink at your brother?
I think I did. In fact, I think I actually...
Oh, wow.
Hooked him.
So now you got more details. You got the key detail wrong, what you were writing about in your book, but now you remember an additional detail. You not only winked, you elbowed your brother.
Even though
the reason for the wink in your writing was the fact that Reverend was using the title, something that had never been done, but it wasn't used. But we're supposed to believe you today. We're supposed to take your word over Justice Alito's word. We're supposed to take your word over a lady who gave you dollars donated to your cause, Miss Gail Wright. You're disparaging her name, Justice Alito's name, and the court. And you have this, which obviously didn't happen. We got the transcript. We got the audio. But you made it a big deal in your book. One thing I've learned, people who mislead folks on small things mislead them on big things. And you know what? You can lie in a book. That's not a crime. You can lie to the New York Times. That's not a crime. But when you come in front of Congress and you say things that are not true, you're not allowed to do that. You're not supposed to do that. And we have seen it. You're not supposed to do that.
Christmas 2022 is almost here. And we have great products at InfoWarsStore.com that empower your body, your libido, your immune system, that just enrich your life. So whether it's Vitamin Mineral Fusion or DNA Force Plus or Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, they're all still in stock, discounted up to 60% with promo code 1776. And now, finally, we have brought back free shipping at InfoWarsStore.com on orders of $50 or more and big discounts on the regular shipping as well. Plus, the book, The Great Reset and the War for the World, signed or unsigned, it's also available with free shipping at InfoWarsStore.com. So again, that's free shipping on all orders, $50 or more, at InfoWarsStore.com, and up to 60% off at checkout with promo code 1776. And we've got the signed and unsigned copies of the Great Reset War for the World book as well, which make perfect stocking stuffers. Don't wait, take action at InfoWarsStore.com today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. And today, I wasn't sure what I wanted to talk about, so the more I thought about it, the more I thought, why don't we get into some areas that are not very well known? And these are areas of control that keep people under the spell, keep them, people in the wizard circle, so to speak, that do not allow them to wake up. And there's a lot of different facets to this. There's a lot of different techniques and mechanisms for control, but one thing that happens is that people don't know history. And if you know the way that education was manipulated and broken down in the 20th century, and then obviously even far worse now, the U.S. Western education system was modeled on the Prussian system, which was a highly compartmentalized, and it was a command and control structure. So it was a military oriented structure for education. And the U.S. Adopted that model, and this is discussed by Charlotte Iserbitt in her book, The Dumbing Down of America. But education became about socializing you and making sure that you fit into the system rather than you learning on your own. So ideally, education should be you figuring out and learning how to learn. You become a critical thinker. You become the person who's able to research for themselves, critically think for themselves. But education became a system where it was all about socializing you to fit into the social order that they had planned. And the founders of American education, in the sense of public schooling, Horace Mann, John Dewey, they were open socialists who thought that education, public education, would be the means to bringing this in. In fact, the founder of kindergarten, I think her name was a Mrs. Peabody, she believed that kindergarten in the public school system would be the vehicle for the kingdom of God to come. So she actually had these religious, almost Pentecost level significances to the notion of public education. And all of that was by design. All of that was investigated in many different hearings and committees. And there's the Reese Committee and these kinds of things that discovered all of this. But one thing that's hidden from people's history, from people's approach, is history itself. People don't know anything about history. They don't know why it matters, and they don't understand that control structures use the same methods they've always used. And one example that I got a hold of many years ago, a very rare book that was out of print for a long time that's very, very insightful, is this super duper rare, and I don't even have the real copy. It's called The Origins of Intelligence Services by Francis Dvornik. Why does this matter? Well, he was a famous Catholic priest who wrote about how there's a deep relationship between even religious institutions, empire or imperial power, and spies. And so he talks about how, for example, the first great empire in the world, you go back to Egypt, he talks about Amenhotep. And he says that, I don't know why he dates that as the first great empire, but he says Amenhotep's reign could never have come about and could never have sustained itself if you didn't have a vast spy network. And so you have an ancient world in Egypt. We don't usually think about spies in Egypt, but Egypt was full of spies. In fact, there was a false there was a notion of spycraft being connected to religion. It was almost like a secret society in the ancient Egyptian world. So we think about spies and we think about, this kind of stuff that we see in the news today with Russiagate and all that concocted nonsense, which was all fake and made up. And we see masses of people still believe, right, that Russia got Donald Trump elected, that Russia was putting bounties on soldiers in Afghanistan, that Russia was involved in Elon Musk and Twitter, Russia, Russia, Russia. It's all just constant, the same nonsense, right? And we saw that that the shutting down of the Orthodox Church that Tucker covered, that Alex just covered as well, that was done at the behest of Zelensky, who we know is essentially one of these puppet figures put in to do the behest, to do the will of the Western power establishment. And I think everybody knows about the deep connections between Ukraine and Zelensky and Biden. Hasn't this come up quite a bit in the last several years? And what have we seen? Well, we're all vindicated once again that all of the Biden laptop and all that stuff was intentionally distracted, suppressed, hidden. People were deleted. People were suppressed just on Twitter. And we all knew that, but now we know for sure that that was the case. So there you have actual election meddling, right? Not by Russia. And yet this boogeyman is always propped up, and it's just the most recent boogeyman, at least probably since about 2014 or 15, they really started pushing the Russia boogeyman. Why is Russia the boogeyman? Well, Russia is the old rival to the Anglo-American power establishment. It's not the only one. There used to be the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and Dr. Carol Quigley in his big, massive tome, Tragedy and Hope, points out that the whole purpose of the 20th century, both the two world wars and the Cold War, was to deplete, to exhaust, and to defeat the Austro-Hungarian Empire and Russia. That's it. And so we are still in this kind of a world power block setup where most of the world powers have conceded to Western so-called liberalism, which really isn't anything to do with Western civilization, and it's really nothing to do with liberalism anymore. It's just sort of the apex of this, I guess we could call it nihilism, postmodernism, right? It's a postmodern nihilistic imperialism, which is foisting all of its anti-human Malthusian ideology on the rest of the world. That's the root of all this. And so in recent books that I've covered, I covered this Milner-Fabian book because it's such a great addendum to Quigley's works and to all these other geopolitical texts, which say all the same stuff you hear me say all the time. And he notes that in the chapter concluding the institutions that were set up, all these institutions are public institutions. It's the Royal Institute for International Affairs. It's the League of Nations, which failed and was supplanted by the United Nations. It's the Council on Foreign Relations. It's the British Labour Party. It's the World Bank. It's the IMF, Aspen Institute, Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission, Socialist International. All of these are interlinked by having the same inner core people promoting them from their inception. So basically the last century is these people, including NATO, including what we typically think of as like ecumenism and the World Council of Churches. And so do you understand that this is no different than the way control happened thousands of years ago in Egypt, according to Dvornik's big fat history of intelligence services? The same model, it's the same way of trying to control things. And you have to understand this or else you will never direct your energy and your opposition to the right opponent. If I can get you to spend all of your energy and time over here fighting a fake straw man opponent, then I will win because you'll never go against the real opponent. And the right wing, for whatever reason, I don't know exactly why, conservatives, whatever you want to call them, probably because of the fake right wing, is the main reason why the phonies is why this never goes anywhere. They never can pinpoint the right opposition. Then they can never pinpoint these institutions as the problem. And even most of those people still laugh at you when you talk about really existing institutions that have real power, that control and direct media, consult governments, think tanks, NGOs, right? You still get laughed at because they think that it's the idiots in the White House, like Joe Biden. Look at that idiot, right? The idiots in the White House? Do you think that that guy's running anything? Now, he might be a low-level gangster that runs some things, like in Ukraine. But he's not in control of all of this. There was no Joe Biden 100 years ago when they were laying the plans for the world that we're going into right now. And so until we recognize who is really calling the shots, nothing will ever change. And I don't know why conservative people can't figure this out, but they're their own worst enemies, people on the right and people that are conservatives. They can never pinpoint any of this stuff. And they just sort of, they have the same tendency to just sort of mock and laugh at this stuff. And that will be the undoing, right? Mocking the facts will be the undoing. So we have to understand this or else things are never going to change. And I'm going to talk a little bit about a really heavy-hitting podcast that I just did with some big-name people a couple days ago that went up, and I'm going to go into that when we go back. This is the auction.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNTeam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We were breaking down the steering committees, the NGOs, the think tanks, the groups that really control things, really set policy, really determine the course that the Western world in particular goes. And of course, that's now extending to global influence and global control. They're not completely there yet, but they're well on their way with gigantic centralized banking institutions like the Bank for National Settlements, which was set up, according to Quigley, out of World War II to be the central bank, the Federal Reserve Bank of all central banks in the world. And that's the real locus of control in this system. And that's why things like Bitcoin, for example, are a challenge to that, because it's not centralized. It's not a system that they can very easily track and trace everybody's economic exchanges and interactions to shut that down. And the reason that this matters is that there's a history to what happened in the West that we have to understand as to, you know, how we got to where we are right now. How do we get to this phase of the implementation of a technocratic global governance, which is in its infancy phases right now in terms of rolling out? It's been planned for a long, long time by all those institutions that I listed. They openly talk about the implementation of an international order around these principles. And yes, technocracy goes back that long. It goes back to the 1920s and 30s when you had members of the Royal Society, the British aristocracy, such as Lord Curtis, Lord Curzon, Lord Milner. All of these people had adopted the early ideas of international Fabian socialism as the model, and then only a few decades later, people were already writing about futurism, like H.G. Wells, who was one of their ideologues, people like Bertrand Russell. I've covered that ad nauseum. I'm not going to repeat all that. But one of the ways that they go about this control is through spycraft, through spies and espionage. And this is also on record. There's a book called The Irregulars, which is about the British spies who were sent to America to talk the government structure in the U.S. into setting up a deep state, into setting up a spy apparatus, which had previously been done under the aegis of the military. And now there was even that was sort of corrupt with Woodrow Wilson and the inquiry. It was still basically a scheme of banking elites through Colonel Edwin Mandel House to set up the Federal Reserve and all that. But it became more centralized, more privatized after the National Security Act and the erecting of the OSS. And that was all done at the request of different British spies on how to set up an inner core, an inner secret group that was modeled on British intelligence. So it's not British intelligence that runs everything. But the model of the CIA and the OSS and the CIA is on the model of the structures of British intelligence and how they ran their empire. And a lot of these people, including people like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, Lord Milner, all of these kinds of people in that structure, they wanted to reclaim America and its colonies back into the British imperial model. And even though Britain itself ended up kind of going bankrupt in the 20th century, it wasn't the model for that. They discovered that the United States could be the engine for that. The United States would be the engine of this inner core group. It's the same inner core group that is in control today. And they ally themselves with the elite, wealthy, oligarchical families in the United States as well, such as the Rockefellers, J.P. Morgan, etc. These are the people that are really calling the shots. These are the people that have set up all of these institutions that are pushing and have been pushing for global governance for 100 years or more. So it's amazing to me that we still can't talk about this. It's still not mainstream. You still can't mention these things. And that's all because of public perception. It's all because it's perceived still as tinfoil hat or crazy or something like that. Even though every one of these institutions that I've talked about is dedicated publicly in their founding charters and in their founding members' ideology to the erecting of a global government. And I remember when I heard Alex talk about this 20 years ago, I thought, really? They really talk about doing this in their books? And I went and read all their books, not literally all of them, but we've lectured through almost probably 60 now of the writings of the elite and the white papers and all that. And you can absolutely bet that it's controlled, that it's planned, that it's structured. You know, one of the classic conspiracy texts that I never read for whatever reason over the years until fairly recently was John Coleman's Committee of the 300, right? The conspirators hierarchy. And he's a person who was in British intelligence and then kind of later decided this was a bad plan. So he wrote this book about what their overall plan was. And I think that came out in the 80s or 90s. So it's a pretty old text. But guess what he describes? Exactly the same thing that this describes. Exactly what Carol Quigley describes. Exactly what all of these texts describe. And until we realize that this is a 100-plus-year plan that we are up against and institutions that have been erected for over 100 years or so, nothing will change. Why can nobody seem to figure this out? Why can nobody pick this out? For example, if you look at something like the Vatican, I'm not trying to knock Catholics individually. I don't think there's anything – I don't hate or dislike Catholics individually, but I don't think the papacy and what's going on in Rome is anything healthy or any kind of good system. I think it's a control structure, and certainly Francis has really shown this in many, many ways. But if we go back to the time of the League of Nations, which was already a nascent form of world government, the Pope at that time, his name was Benedict XV, he was a huge supporter of the League of Nations. Well, why would the papacy be a huge supporter of the control structure of the people that I'm talking about? And this control structure has no desire whatsoever to have a place for religions operating in some sort of independent sphere or independent domain. You understand that, for example, the ecumenist movement was really bankrolled by the Rockefeller family itself. This is detailed at length in the Collier and Horowitz biography of the Rockefellers. There's a whole chapter on how they put all the money into the ecumenist movement and got it going. And that blossomed into things like the World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches. Those are entities really created by the Rockefellers on record. And was that because they were just altruistic and they want everyone to be happy and they want to give everybody, you know, a nice feel-good Christianity? Well, in a way, that is the case because they believe that the social gospel, which was a rejection of actual Christianity on the basis of miracles and these kinds of things, that a social gospel would be a excellent tool to spread their version of what America is supposed to be, which is, for them, Americanism is oligarchy, right? Their Americanism, not the, you know, founding principles, nothing like that. It's a socialized, it's a Christianity turned into an NGO as an organ of soft power. And there've been entire books by historians written on how the Rockefellers bought off all of the Protestant seminaries, how they turned them into these liberal organizations by offering to build million-dollar buildings and putting in their ministers and people that they handpicked to teach the next generation of Protestant pastors. And they did the exact same thing eventually with Roman Catholic seminaries and Roman Catholic schools in the United States. There's a giant book written by a Catholic on that by David Wim Hof on John Courtney Murray. And that's because there's been a long alliance between the CIA and the Jesuits in this same power structure. Don't go anywhere. This is the Alex Jones Show. We're breaking down the real secret history of how the power structure controls the West.
Christmas 2022 is almost here. And we have great products at InfoWarsStore.com that empower your body, your libido, your immune system, that just enrich your life. So whether it's Vitamin Mineral Fusion or DNA Force Plus or Body's Open Tumor Formula, they're all still in stock, discounted up to 60% with promo code 1776. And now, finally, we have brought back free shipping at InfoWarsStore.com on orders of $50 or more and big discounts on the regular shipping as well. Plus the book, The Great Reset and the War for the World, signed or unsigned, it's also available with with free shipping at InfoWarsStore.com. So again, that's free shipping on all orders, $50 or more, at InfoWarsStore.com, and up to 60% off at checkout with promo code 1776. And we've got the signed and unsigned copies of the Great Reset War for the World book as well, which make perfect stocking stuffers. Don't wait, take action at InfoWarsStore.com today.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I need more time to file my taxes. Help.
On IRS.gov, you can use IRS Free File to get 6 more months. Or you can submit IRS Form 4868 by the April deadline. If you owe taxes, you can make an electronic payment and get a filing extension with no need to submit Form 4868. Go to IRS.gov for details. But remember, an extension of time to file is not an extension of time to pay what you owe.
To the Alex Jones, I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We're talking about dialectics. We're talking about manipulation. We're talking about control structures and the organizations that are in place to enforce this control, to steer society, to socially engineer society. And there was a book I read many years ago that really opened my eyes up to this. And I do not agree with everything from this author, but this book itself alone is really good. And this is by a kind of controversial figure, but he's one of the key figures in founding the American homeschool movement. I don't know if this book is still in print, but his name was R.J. Rush Jr., and he wrote a book called The One and the Many. And the reason The One and the Many is a really good book is because it's about this manipulation of the collective versus the atomized individual over time in different civilizations. And so he works his way all the way up to the modern era, and he talks about how society's kind of fall over into tyrannies, or they fall over into anarchy, and they kind of have this back and forth dialectic, a manipulated, a false either or is what I mean by dialectic. And he gets all the way up into the 20th century, and he mentions the principles in Pope John the 23rd's encyclical Pacem in Terras, which if you go to my YouTube channel, I recently lectured through a lot of these texts because they're also very important to the modern era because he was one of the first popes. He's the pope that called Vatican II back in the 60s to call for world government, call for a centralized body to help control and structure international commerce, international government. And that was, I think, in the 1960s when he, so 1963, I think, is when he did that encyclical. It's around, right around that time. And, you know, Rushdie has a really good commentary on that. He talks about how they admittedly wanted this to be something akin to the United Nations ideology of a global government. And it's actually mentioned that they supported certain radical Bolsheviks and socialists. John the 23rd at the United Nations was presented a copy of this encyclical to U Thant, who was a Leninist at the United Nations. So here are the people that are supposedly the absolute enemies of Christianity, the Bolsheviks, the socialists, the communists, the Marxists, the Soviets. And you have this idea that of John the 23rd that we can have this union, this synthesis between the East and the West to have some sort of alliance between basically Satan and Christ, right? I mean, how is it possible to have this kind of alliance? And this is what was undergirding a lot of the ideas of the ecumenism of that time. Now, I'm not saying John the 23rd was some asset, per se, of the CIA, but the point is that there's higher-level people above these organizations. Because we know at this time the CIA wanted to use the Roman Catholic Church as part of their doctrinal warfare program. But there's people higher than that. There's people above those kinds of government entities. There's foundations and there's families that have wealth far beyond that that are also very interested in creating things like a world religion. And so how do we get to this end goal? I mentioned a podcast that I recently did. An in-studio podcast with a couple heavy hitters. Dr. James Lindsay, who you may have seen on Joe Rogan. He's been on Joe Rogan many times to cover the issue of fake peer review science. And I was on that with him and another high-level guy who's named Stephen Coughlin. And he was, for many years, a consultant, I think, to the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Pentagon consultant. He's sort of the Pentagon's expert on Islam. And so we sat down and had this, he himself is a Catholic, Lindsay is an agnostic, and we had about a three-hour conversation on this topic. How is society controlled through manipulated dialectics? And that Rushdie book is central to this because it helps us understand that power structures have known for millennia that you can control groups through creating factions and creating division. And we only need to think in terms of the modern era of somebody like Zbigniew Brzezinski, who wrote in his books about doing this. He wrote about in one of his last books, Strategic Vision, Brzezinski wrote about the Manichaean dialectic of the Cold War, the theologically God-based West and the atheist socialist-based East. And even though Brzezinski was part of that Cold War structure, he speaks of this kind of as a dialectic that was not really that real. It was just sort of manipulated, and it was said to be this kind of a thing, right? And I'm not saying there wasn't a real Cold War. I'm just saying that there was a long-term goal by the people who are the Fabian socialists and these higher-level institutions that I'm talking about who didn't have a problem with big capitalism like some of the other Marxists did. Some of the more radical Marxists, some of the groups of Marxists that were pretty hardcore, didn't have this adapt and, alliance with the institutions attitude that the Fabians had. And so that they were much more successful. And that's why so many of these power elite really preferred Fabian socialism, including David Rockefeller himself. David Rockefeller studied under Lasky, I think at Harvard, who was a Fabian socialist, part of the Milner group here that we're talking about. And he also studied under von Hayek, who in von Hayek at the end of his book calls for global government. I don't know if people know. I mean, if you read Road to Serfdom, yeah, there's got a lot of great points in there. But the very last chapter is let's have a global government. It's an appendix in the book. I don't know why libertarians can't figure this out.
it's at the end of the day, if you're somebody like David Rockefeller, Fabian socialism and libertarian economics, they meet at the hip. They're fine because on the one hand, it allows David Rockefeller to maintain a position of monopoly capital while at the same time funding every possible socialist, Maoist, right, type of organization out there. And so when I sat down with Dr. James Lindsay and Stephen Coughlin, both who are, really smart, brilliant people, we had a great exchange over this notion of dialectics. And I don't, we can't. And the thesis that we came to in that podcast was that the people that are conservative or libertarian or right wing or whatever in America just cannot figure out how they're manipulated through dialectics. And I don't just mean the false left-right parties, right? I mean, we know that there's rhinos and there's Democrats. Okay, but it's more than that. This is a technique of manipulation and control that is studied in a scientific way. There was a whole institute, a whole group called the Frankfurt School. And I studied under somebody who studied under the Frankfurt School when I was in undergrad and grad school. So I have Marxistolic succession, as I like to say, because I don't mean that literally. I just mean that I studied under somebody who studied under Habermas. And so I know what the Frankfurt School teaches. I've read multiple Habermas books and these, and this is an institute that the West brought over, the Frankfurt School. The OSS brought the Frankfurt School people over to weaponize and study the arts to fight World War II. And that became also part of the Cold War. And this is partly where you get this idea of modern art and that being a CIA weapon during the Cold War. But this is not really about communism and Soviets and this kind of stuff, right? This is actually about controlling society on a mass scale. It's not about Cold War ultimately. It's about degrading and breaking down society. And the arts are one of the key ways that they do that. And this has been known for a long time. I don't know why people cannot figure this out. I've talked about this for so long. I wrote two books on this, trying to convey this point, trying to explain to people that the arts are not just organic things that, creative people do. They're control structures. They don't have to be, but they are. And the establishment has known that for a long time. In fact, the ancient world knew that. When Virgil wrote the Aeneid, he wrote it to be the propaganda myth of the Roman Empire. When Edmund Spenser wrote The Faerie Queen, he wrote it to be the propaganda myth, like the Aeneid, for the British Empire. On record. And so they know that the stories, the arts, help prop up or can damage the power structure. And the system, which is based around power relations, obviously, how it views the arts as well. And so it's going to be pretty concerned, I would say, with how to control and manipulate society, don't you think? And that's why dialectical manipulation, plays into this. And so in the last segment, I'm going to go further into dialectical manipulation, how this actually comes out of secret societies, how this comes out of Western Hermeticism, alchemy, and exactly what we talked about in that 3-hour podcast. I'm going to try to break it down in the last 10 minutes for you guys to help you understand so that you don't get manipulated by false dialectics that goes beyond.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
You've got advanced prostate cancer, but you're not waiting around. You want straight talk, the facts about a Gofix.
Orgovyx Relagolix 120 milligram prescription tablets is a treatment for adults with advanced prostate cancer. Fact, Orgovyx is a different kind of androgen deprivation therapy treatment, a pill, not an injection. Orgovyx may cause serious side effects, including a heart condition called QT prolongation. Tell your doctor right away if you feel dizzy, faint, have a racing or pounding heart, or chest pain. Orgovyx can cause harm to an unborn baby or miscarriage. Use birth control during treatment and for 2 weeks after Orgovyx treatment. The most common side effects include hot flushes, increased blood sugar and blood fat levels, muscle and joint pain, decreased blood hemoglobin levels, increased liver enzymes, tiredness, constipation, and diarrhea. Other side effects include weight gain, decreased sex drive, and erectile function problems. Orgovyx may cause infertility. Talk to your doctor if infertility is a concern for you.
Go with Orgovyx. Ask your doctor. For more facts, visit GoWithTheFacts.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy. Says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Talking about dialectics as warfare, dialectics as a technique and technology of control, dialectics as a science of Marxist praxis. All of these things are real things that exist amongst the academics, amongst the intellectuals, amongst those who are in power as a tool of control. Now, not everybody in the power structure for sure is a Marxist. That's true. But one thing that the right wing and conservatives have never, understood is that the people that they're opposed to, they do study philosophy. They do know these things. They know them very well, and they know them as a way to weaponize these things. And so you hear me using these terms. I'm not making these up. These are terms. Look at this. Here's the people of the Frankfurt School right here, Horkheimer and Adorno. You see that book, Dialectic of Enlightenment. That's dialectics. What is dialectics? Well, it goes back to the ancient world, and it's this idea of either ors, or thesis and negation. And so for these Marxists, and I did a lecture some years ago on this book by Habermas, who is, again, one of the more famous, more recent Marxist Frankfurt School critical theory people. This one's called Theory and Praxis. Praxis is action. Praxis is you actually working to negate and tearing down the existing structures. And you have to understand that they believe this because it is negation is actual part of the process to enact Marxism or to enact revolutionary consciousness. And who do you think he goes to when he talks about this? He goes to Hegel and Gnosticism and Hermeticism. And he says that this is the old version of what we're doing today. And it's not a Marxist conspiracy per se. It's beyond that. It's more than that. It's an anti-human satanic conspiracy, yes. But it utilizes weapon systems from different philosophers. And I don't know why, again, conservatives and right-wing people can't figure this out. They just can't. They think philosophy doesn't matter. That's for dumb academics or whoever. And we'll just keep pushing, I don't know what they think, things that don't work. Because they can't identify dialectics and dialectical manipulation. Who else do you think he goes to in this? He says, let's look at people like Hegel. What was Hegel teaching? Well, here's a famous academic book from a couple years ago by Glenn McGee called Hegel and the Hermetic Tradition. Hegel was a Hermeticist. Now, it's true that the philosophers of today are not Hegelian. But if you know about Hegel, you know that Karl Marx read Hegel. He was a young Hegelian. And then he flipped Hegel on his head and said, get rid of all this spirit stuff. It's all just dialectical material process. And Habermas says, yes, that's correct. And in order to have a part of this warfare dialectical conflict process, every true Marxist, every person involved in revolutionary action must constantly negate, go against, tear down, fight. Remember, what is it, Saul Alinsky, in the beginning of his book, Rules for Radicals, he dedicates the book to Satanism, to Satan. He's saying the same thing Habermas says, saying the same thing that the Enlightenment, excuse me, the dialectic of Enlightenment people are saying from the Frankfurt School. These are the people that the OSS brought over to weaponize the arts. Okay, this is not dumb academics in universities just theorizing into oblivion. These are people brought over by the intelligence apparatus to change this culture, to change the West. And they did it. And right-wingers and conservatives can't figure this out. Why? It's well known. It's right here. It's in their freaking books. He says it is a technology of control and manipulation. Doesn't have to do with, it's not, Hegel doesn't even matter himself. Because they're just using ideas out of these different philosophers. You say, who cares what Habermas says? He's just some European weird intellectual person. No, he's not. He wrote a book with the Pope, the supposed conservative Pope, Benedict XVI, together with Jürgen Habermas. And what do you think that book is about? Well, it's about secularization and all this kind of stuff. The dialectics. You see that? Maybe if all of these people are talking about dialectics, maybe it's something that you should be aware of, especially if you're some conservative person, right-wing person. And it's about control. It's about manipulation, right? So even if you're not interested in all this highfalutin academic stuff, that's fine. I don't blame you. It's all kind of ridiculous at the end of the day. But it's not ridiculous when it becomes a weaponized tool of control. And that's what we got into in that podcast. And I talked with, you know, two of the smartest guys out there on this topic. You go to my YouTube channel, you'll see it is the top video right there. Me and Dr. James Lindsay, Stephen Coughlin, and Courtney Turner, we talk about how dialectics is a tool of control. And this is, we think, the chief point of failure that right-wing and conservative people cannot recognize. They can't figure this out. And even though they might have begun to figure it out, they're just sort of waking up out of a sleep when it comes to false dialectics in the party. Oh, there's rhinos, but it's much bigger than rhinos, you see. It's false choices and false it's even in terms of events that occur. Right? So let's say an event occurs. The media is there to construct the circle within which you can't go outside of that circle to ask questions or to explain any event. Doesn't matter what, Zelensky, 9/11, whatever. You're only allowed to ask the questions within this circle, and the media constructs that circle for you. And as long as you're in the circle, Stephen Coughlin says, you're under the spell. Because you'll never identify what's really going on, because the questions outside of the circle are considered questions that aren't even askable. They're not even real questions. There was a famous philosopher who was a little more conservative in the 20th century who wrote about this. His name was Eric Voegelin. And Eric Voegelin said that technocracy in the modern era and scientism structures the questions such that there are certain questions that can and cannot be asked. That's what I'm talking about. That's the manipulation of dialect. That's how you can't ask wait a minute, what if scientism itself isn't true? Well, that's not, you can't ask that question. Who are, you can't challenge Bill Nye and, you know, all these kinds of pop science figures. Why do you think Ross Tyson, for example, says philosophy is useless? We're done with philosophy. Don't ask philosophical questions anymore. Because he, I don't know how well he knows, but he doesn't want you to look at these kinds of things. Dialectics and the Frankfurt School, right? I've still got a bit of a cold, so I apologize. So that's why I'm having to drink water. But, I mean, so when it comes to hermeticism and dialectics and this kind of stuff, this is how we're controlled. This is what we have to understand. If we don't understand that, nothing's ever going to change. We're going to, the overall agenda of technocracy will march on forward while we're over here arguing about, you know, politicians peeing on people and sleeping with people and the latest. And again, I'm not saying that, you know, big events like that aren't worth talking about, but a lot of these things don't matter and people won't be even remembering them in a few years. And they're disposable events, right? Meanwhile, the technocracy marches forward through manipulated dialectics. It never stops. And the right-wing conservative people can never figure it out. And they just keep, they'll just forever talk about the next stupid scandal with Biden or whoever. And I understand that to a degree the scandals matter because they show cover-ups, they show, you know, suppression of information and people getting censored and deleted. Yeah, I understand that. But nothing will change until we identify the real problems. I think on that new podcast that I did, we did identify the problems, and we spent about 3 hours discussing this. And so until intelligent conservative people figure this out, they're going to be impotent to do anything. And we're not, I mean, other people have seemed to be figuring this out, too, in terms of researchers, noting that how is it that the conservative and the right wing people can never do anything? It's like they're always constantly conceding ground and becoming more and more liberal, that Overton window. Well, that's part of this dialectical process. So if you've wondered why it is that conservatives become more and more liberal over time, it is through the manipulation of dialectics. This is why. And until conservatives decide to figure this out, they're going to keep conceding ground and keep losing. Cultural war, political war, geopolitical, all this stuff. So you have to understand dialectics. Go check out my new podcast. By the way, I'm almost ready to release the next lecture on this geopolitical stuff in terms of the Milner-Fabian book. So look for that this upcoming week. That's going to be another hard-hitting lecture with a lot of information. You can also get my books at the website. I have a new 600-page book out that I wrote. That's really just a summation of all of my essays over the last 10 years. It's the Red Book. You can also get my philosophy book, which is an introduction to philosophy called Meta-Narratives. Also go to Alex's, I had my Alex book in here. Yeah, this is a good book too, which I was happy to get a few weeks ago. You might check this book out. You get this in the InfoWars store and help keep Alex on the air. This says everything that I'm saying as well.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.